This is a mother-daughter podcast, but it is not for kids. This podcast will be discussing adult subject matter that may not be suitable for all ages. Listener discretion advised.
Welcome back to the Don't Look podcast.
Happy 4th of July!
Happy 4th of July. My name is Kat.
I'm Kat's mom.
And yes, we know we're coming at you a little bit post 4th of July, but it's still July, and July means Murica.
Murica.
Lots of fireworks and eagles and
all that stuff.
All that good
freedom.
Stuff.
Freedom.
Which means that, as we've decided last year, we're going to hold up the annual tradition that I absolutely adore, where we watch a war movie.
And Kat gets angry.
I
don't care. I love war movies.
A war or a military or, you know, that type of movie.
I'm learning this about myself. I honestly did not realize it until we started watching these and you kept talking about how much you hate them. And I'm like, oh, but that's a really good movie. I hadn't realized how many of these I've actually had kind of in my back pocket this whole time. And I just never really thought about it until now and how much I enjoy them.
I think they are. No.
I don't like it at all.
I was saying the words wrong. I think they are good movies. They all just make me irrationally angry. I get so angry and frustrated by the concept of war and the military, which is so un-American of me.
It's so un-American of you. It's unpatriotic.
It gives me a lot of thoughts and feels. So, and most of them are not happy thoughts and or feels.
Well, we're going to talk about NAM. So a lot of people have unhappy thoughts and feels about it.
Yeah, as they should.
You know, I mean, it's not like it's a super fun time.
No. And we're going to be talking about these, like, tragic war movies of the past as there are, like, tragic wars happening right now. And right. It sucks and it's awful.
It does. It sucks and it's awful. War is hell.
Do we have any life stuff that we need to catch up on?
I would like to talk about Ghost.
Of course we would like to talk about Ghost. We also, I feel like we should talk about the Jeffrey Combs thing, but we can talk about Ghost first.
I always want to talk about Ghost.
Oh my God, because the last episode was pre-Ghost movie.
It was pre-Right Here, Right Now, and now we've seen Right Here, Right Now, and we did not get the popcorn tin or the cool cup because our theater did not sell them, which, ew. You know, I don't think we were totally surprised at.
We weren't.
The movie theater in Collegeville, PA, the movie tavern, did not have that merch. I was actually pleasantly surprised to see a decent number of guesties there. I did not think there would be as many as there were, so I'm happy that there were. We met some fun people, and we had a good time, and it was a great movie, and I'm not going to spoil anything because it's not widely available yet. I know there are quite a few people out there.
Right.
That I don't know if any of the Super 8 are guesties.
I don't.
Did I tell you guys that's what we're calling, you know, the Super 8, like the film? The Big 8 listeners, the only people who listen to our podcast.
I don't know that I've seen Super 8.
What? You're not. I'm calling them the Super 8.
I just knew that you were calling them that. I just don't know that I.
Well, you subscribe to it now because this is happening.
Sorry for that background noise, y'all. I'm trying to check my phone. As of recording this, the Ghost premiere special extra bonus show on that's streaming on Veeps should be coming out 3 days after this episode goes up.
Yeah, hopefully if they don't push it back again.
That's as of recording this, that is what we're what we know. So of course once that happens we'll definitely want to talk to you guys about it.
Yeah. So, I mean, look for more ghost news in the next episode.
Look for more ghost news in the next episode. And
I know you guys can't get enough. I know you really just tune in for ghost updates that we have,
and
of which there seem to be more than I realize.
So, we'll definitely talk about the Goovy more once it's more widely available.
Yep.
But what we will say is that we're in the Goovy.
We are in the Goovy. You can see us for like a hot second. And I mean, when I say a second, it is actually maybe 2 seconds because they cut away and then cut back and it's the same spot. And you can see us.
You can see
us.
We
are there. So get your magnifying glasses out because we are there. You can see Rodney's bald head. It is
Fantastic. You only know what one of us looks like if you follow us on the
social.
So, I mean, like, best of luck.
Hopefully you can see Kat. But I will say that a taint is mentioned. Well, it's not mentioned. It says, where did you feel that? And the answer is...
In the taint.
In the taint, Papa. So when that happens...
Papa, in the taint, Papa.
If you're watching the Goovy and you look all the way to the left in the crowd, you will see a bald man and we are right there.
I'm wearing a white shirt, so.
Yes, so you should be able to spot her. So we were very excited. We got very excited in the theater.
And then the C store that was next to us was like, did you guys see yourself? And we're like, yeah, we were there.
And it was cool because we got to wear,
such
we
a
got
cute
to wear our LA shirts.
Which no one commented on.
Because I think they were just jealous.
I really was expecting to get in like a ghost fight, being like, oh yeah, well, we're bigger ghost fans than you are.
I think you went with your hackles up, and it didn't happen because everybody's friendly in the ghost community.
I'm sorry.
It didn't work out. But it was so much fun.
It was a great time.
10 out of 10 stars. Highly recommend. Hopefully it'll be streaming soon and everybody can see it because it was a good time.
I know a lot of the C-stores went to see it like multiple times. We only saw it once.
We only saw it once.
It was such a fun watch, though.
It was a lot. Like, if you haven't had a chance to get to a ritual... Or get to a ritual in a while, it really did feel a lot like you were there. And I feel like
it felt very ritual-esque.
Just a lot of the comments and stuff that I'm seeing, it's like, you know, people are kind of surprised. And it's like, I wonder if these are people who have not seen a ritual before because they were just kind of surprised at, like, the personality and everything that comes through on stage.
And I don't know. Like, I really feel like a lot of those people have not seen a ritual before. Yeah. But I think a lot of it is the same reasons that people were completely and still are completely obsessed with three is just that personality and that energy that comes across during the performance. So if you're a guestie and you have not seen a ritual, been to a ritual, or, you know, didn't see the Goovy, which is, yes, what we're calling the ghost movie. Everything in the ghost fandom just gets GH put in front of it, and that's how it becomes named.
And I don't care people on Reddit who are salty about it. I mean, the sisters have spoken, and we're in charge, so there you go.
C-stores before me stores, man. Like, come on.
That's the way it is.
But, yes, so if you haven't seen any of those, I do highly recommend looking, because... Like, I'm pretty sure every tour or many of the tours are on YouTube. I do recommend looking them up and just so you can see the Papas, because watching Tobias Forge perform on stage is magical.
It's a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun. And, you know, I've been to a lot of shows in a lot of different venues, and I've seen a lot of performers and a lot of bands and everything that I really like, some that I don't like as much. But this is different in a way that I don't know. It's almost like watching a performance, you know, not like a concert. It's like you're watching a show, you know, like they really kind of go over the top with it, which is just, it's a lot of fun.
The thing that comes to my mind when I try and think about it is, I'm sorry if you guys can hear the dog barking in the background. She's outside. If you've watched The Righteous Gemstones, which I know that both of us have, and they have that like mega church where it's like
it's such an experience,
and like everyone is moved by the Holy Spirit. Like, that's what it feels like being at a ghost show.
You're in an anti mega church.
Yeah,
it's really good.
It really feels that way, and everyone there is just so supportive and just like a great community. And
you really feel connected,
and like. I don't know if it's different when you're a me store versus a C store or what, but I really feel like connected with all of the C stores, and it's like magical.
And it's really cool. And I mean, we all cheer for the dumbest stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, like, legit. Everybody's like waving potatoes in the air and everybody's like, oh my God, you know? Or like, you know, you see a guy dressed like Jesus and you're like, Jesus. And then you see like another guy dressed like Jesus and you get Jesus. And it just, you know, it's
yeah. And that guy that comes to Philly dressed as Santa, we were all hype for Santa.
Yeah, we were hype for him. And it was hot.
It was like, hot.
And he was not the youngest guy.
No.
And it was just like, whoa. So, I mean, but.
And like we all, like, I don't know if this is like a spoiler or not, but during the LA show, Papa has to change his shoes, and we got so hype about Papa changing his shoes.
Yeah. I don't even know why that was. But it was just like, hey, yeah, here comes a person to help, and you know, she's helping, and
yeah,
that's great.
And it was just, we thought it was like a mistake,
like a goof-em-ups,
like a goof-em-ups.
Like, we don't know.
And I don't know if it was included just because of how we reacted or what, but
I don't know. I'm still confused on that one, but I was glad to see it.
Definitely, if you have not seen it and you are a fan of Ghost, like, pretty much at all, I do recommend.
It's required viewing.
It's required viewing.
It's required viewing. It makes you feel good. It makes you feel like you're there.
Yeah, yeah.
It really does. It really does a good job. And then, you know, they throw lore in there, so
yeah,
you really don't want to talk too much about that.
If you're not interested in the lore, then just go ahead and watch it. If you are interested in the lore, there are plenty of videos on YouTube about how to fill you in before that.
Yeah. I gotta say, I was really amused at, I don't think this is spoiling anything, that like Mr. Solarian comes out for like 2 minutes and like tells you to video each other and like take pictures of each other and then put your cell phones away.
Yeah, which I don't think will be on the home release.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
it was quite
wonderful.
Nice
to see.
And he just sits there like judging you with the most judgmental stare.
Yeah.
It's quite great.
I was amused by that. So, I mean, you know, that's it. That's all I got. Happy times. It was good.
Do you want to talk about
again?
Do you want to talk about Jeffrey Combs?
Why don't you talk about it? You had way more to do with it than I did.
I did. So, I did not mention this on the pod note. As soon as that episode went up, I was like, oh my God, I totally forgot to mention this. But the theater did a reanimator.
And by the theater, of course, I mean
the Colonial
theater. Right here in Phoenixville, Pennsylvania, home of the Blob.
Home of the Blob. Blobfest coming up. Actually, you'll have missed it by now, but oh well. The Colonial Theater partnered with Exhumed Films to do a Jeffrey Combs retrospective reanimator type of deal. So we watched, what was it,
nine
movies over the course of 2 days, which sounds like a lot and is a lot.
I did not hang for all nine.
I did.
But Kat did. And she volunteered to work that event too.
Right. Which was absolutely wonderful. Everyone from Exhumed Films is like super cool. I would really love to, if any of you are perhaps at all listening, I would really love to work with you in the future. I think you guys are really cool.
Get in on the Super 8 right now.
Get in on the Super 8.
There's only 8 slots available on
Replace
the Super
8. Replace one of fight.
We're only ever allowed to have 8 listeners at a time.
It's like Highlander, except there's many of you.
There's 8. There's not even a dozen.
There's just under 2 handfuls.
That's all we can sense in. It's the strength, the strongest people that can actually tolerate listening to this podcast.
It's 2 handfuls of a carpenter.
Get into it.
But yeah, they're absolutely wonderful. And the event was called Beyond Reanimator. It was a Jeffrey Combs retrospective. So Jeffrey Combs came out. I feel like I'm saying his full name too much. He came out and he introed some of the films and did like signings and like a photo op, which we did post on our socials.
Yes, please check out if you have not, if you don't follow us on the social medias, like take a gander at, I think it's on the DLP page and it's also on Kat's page. I think it might be on my page too. I think I put it on all 3.
Probably.
On the gram or like the DLP page and Kat's page for sure on the book.
The book. The book of faces.
Yeah, you can check it out. It is absolutely precious. And I mean, I would put that as one of your funeral pictures if you choose.
I really think that
should be on your memorial wall.
I wish my head was higher, but I it was hard to get the right position the way that it was set up.
I'm just realizing that might have sounded strange.
Oh, you know what? I'm not going to give you context. You have to go find it. Oh, unless it sounded... Wait.
Cat's fine. She's not going to die anytime soon. We're just a very death-positive house, and we like making preparations in advance.
Okay. Oh, the funeral picture thing. Yes. I was so kidding. I was like, what part sounded weird? Was it the head thing? Because I don't know. Yeah, I'm not giving any context for the head thing, but... Yeah, we're all very, you know, death positive, and I'm sure
I just have a certain amount of pictures that I will allow to be shown at my funeral, and that's it.
And I take horrible pictures of my mother that all the time. Yeah, and I love them, and I will present them at her funeral because she'll be dead. And can't do anything about it.
Don't think I can't do anything about it. Those are lies. You're fooling yourself.
It was wonderful. I got to meet Jeffrey. He's a super sweet, super wonderful guy who really is interested in the work that he has done and how it's affected his fans. And like, he would, one of the Colonial staff was very big Star Trek fan and wanted to talk to him about his role in Star Trek. And he like,
well, he had a few roles, right?
Yeah. Yes, his role as the blue alien.
I can't help you with that one.
I'm sorry. I am not a huge Star Trek fan past the original series.
Rodney would know. Yeah, he knows all that stuff.
But she wanted to talk to him about his various roles in Star Trek, and he like, the conversation trailed off, and he circled back multiple times to add in something else, which was just such a nice thing to see from like a celebrity. And watching all of his movies, I didn't realize how much of a comforting presence I find him, like, as an actor.
He's got quite a range, too.
Yeah, he's got quite a range. If we were going actor to actor and not director to director, I really feel like...
Oh, we can, if you want. Next season. That's not a problem.
Yeah, let us... I mean, Big 8. Let us know if you would super like a... Super 8, might be.
Like
Super
film. 8.
You were calling them the Big 8 for a while.
I know, but I changed it up.
Okay.
I switched up the MacGuffin.
Super 8, if you would like us to do a Jeffrey Combs series where we go Jeffrey to Jeffrey, we'll be willing to do that.
We've got 9 movies right away.
Right away.
We can just pull
8, because we already did do Reanimator.
We did Reanimator, correct. Which, did you tell him we did Reanimator?
I didn't get to tell him that we did Reanimator, and I really wish that I had.
Sad. If you're listening.
If you're listening.
And you're interested. And you would like to become one of the Super 8. I know, you know, your career, you know, it's not great or anything. You only did like a 400 million movies and shows and all kinds of other like awesome projects. But I'm sure the capstone would be becoming one of the Super 8 on our sweet podcast.
Yeah. Even if you just wanted to say, like, I would be so honored if you like listened to our podcast. I can't even imagine.
Just one episode for half an hour. I don't even care.
Listen to our Reanimator episode. We really like that movie. I wanted to ask about how you feel about Herbert West being adopted by the asexual community. But you know,
that's a good one.
A chance to. I really want to know if anyone out there has insight onto that, or Jeffrey, if you're listening, Jeffrey, please let me know, because as a member of that community, I would really like to see, you know, to hear someone else's take on it as a non-ace person.
Really, it's just about the science. It's not really about
anything else. It's about the science.
You know, and he's got Barbara Crampton nude all the time.
Like,
whatever.
He's
science,
like, science. Gotta revive these corpses. Gotta make my own little guys.
Yep.
Gosh. Yeah. Very comforting presence to, like, see him on the screen. And I had him sign the my box set of Doug Bradley's Spine Chillers, because he reads Reanimator on there. And remembering that and being like, that's why his voice sounds so nice and familiar, is just so wild to me. So...
So you just have one more signature to get on that box set.
On that box set.
You've got the complete set. We just need Robert Englund to do it, and then you'll have all of them.
I know.
Robert Englund does read my favorite of the Doug Bradley Spine. I mean, no offense to Doug, but I mean.
No offense to Doug.
Yeah, I just really like the story.
Which story does he read?
Yeah, I knew you were going to ask me that, and I wasn't going to be able to think of it. But it's the guy with the jars, and he's got yellow eyes.
Oh, it's so good. You do really like that.
Yeah, they try to break into his house, and it was just like, because they're like, oh, he's just a defenseless old man. And it doesn't end well for them. And I love the way that he reads it. And I think it's just that one's like really a brilliant friggin' story.
In my re-listening to them, my favorite before was the one with the hand. Where he gets mailed the hand and the hand is still alive. Love that one still. Love that one still. But I think my new favorite, only because I didn't realize it was one of the spine chillers and then hearing it again was like, is the one about the group that goes hunting and then they don't come back and then they do come back.
Oh, yeah. Another good one. They're really nice. I mean, if you haven't heard Doug Bradley's spine chillers, too bad for you because these things... they were so good. And I found out about them at a Horror Hound convention. Like, I still have the shirt. It's like, it was June. I forget the year. It was like early. God, you were like wee. So I want to say like sometime in the early to mid 2000s that I went. And he was like, hey, you know, and he did like a reading and was like, I think I'm doing these things. And they're going to be, you know, called spine chillers. What do you guys think? And we're all like, yeah, we love you. You're so great. And then they came out. I had them on iTunes. And I used to play them for Kat when she was little. Because it was like they're all different kind of authors, but there's nothing like super contemporary. There's no curse words. There's no like overt sexuality. It was a nice, like gentle way kind of to bring a youngin into that horror genre where it was still spooky and definitely spine tingling, but not like, oh my God, what did I just hear? You know?
Yeah.
And they're just read so well and they're produced so well. I really, really do enjoy them, you know, really for any fan of the horror genre.
Really wonderful.
And I mean, you've got everything, you know, you have Lovecraft on there, obviously, we're talking about Reanimator, and then
Poe, tons of Poe.
Ambrose Bierce. I mean, just like a ton of authors that maybe you've heard read before or maybe you haven't. And it's just like, they're really, I can't say enough about them. I mean, they're really great. They're just so good.
Yeah, if you're going to buy, like, one disc, the second, I think, is my favorite, but my favorite standalone. Because a lot of them have, like, multiple parts across multiple discs, so it's hard to, like...
And I'm sure you can get them on, like, iTunes, Amazon. Maybe Audible, I don't know.
I think they were on, like, not Bandcamp, but a similar type of SoundCloud, okay. I think, the last time I was looking, yeah. So...
I know when I first got them, I got them on iTunes. I don't know if they're still there or not anymore, because I don't have an iPod.
Yeah,
so.
I remember
an iPhone.
I remember stealing your iPod to listen to them on like trips and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it was really, they're just lovely. Yeah. Just lovely. All right. Should we talk about the movie maybe?
Anyway.
I've been rambling for a long time. I feel like you've been putting this off.
Maybe. Maybe I have. I really don't want to talk about a war movie. I don't want to watch a war movie, but you signed up for this tradition, so let's keep it going.
It is the 4th of July, America.
It's for America.
So what movie are we watching?
We are going to watch Full Metal Jacket.
Woohoo! Another Kubrick.
She told you she was going to sneak him in, and she's sneaking him in early.
I'm sneaking him in early. I would sneak him in every time because I think there's plenty of movies to watch, but I'm hype. I love this movie.
Speaking of Kubrick, I think that we should mention something.
What do you want to mention?
There's a movie coming out about the faking of the moon landing.
And Stanley Kubrick's not in it.
No one's even, like, playing Stanley Kubrick.
Which is crap.
Because he's the one what did it!
He's the one what did it. But I think they're just giving us enough just to throw us off the scent.
I think so, too. I think they're showing us why it couldn't have worked.
Why it couldn't have worked. But we all know the truth. At least we do here at the DLP.
I feel like I need a disclaimer. We do believe in the moon landing. We do believe we went to the moon.
Just not then. I don't believe that was the footage.
I agree with you, but we can't say that.
Why?
Because people are going to think we're conspiracy theorists.
Well, you just said we believe in it.
Right.
Like, as if you said we were... look, I don't care what they think.
Okay.
That is the hell I'm going to die on. I don't care.
Okay.
I'm just saying...
NASA's never going to support our podcast now. I hope you're happy.
The footage was fake. That's all I'm saying. I'm sure we were there. I'm sure that NASA, I'm a huge supporter of NASA. I love space.
We know.
I love space exploration. I am 100% here for space. We should watch 2001 A Space Odyssey. It's another Kubrick, and it is space.
Is that uncomfortable? It's long.
It's so long. I mean, it's
uncomfortably long.
It is uncomfortably long, like a lot of Kubrick movies. I mean, I'm not making you watch Barry Lyndon. I just want to reiterate that this podcast is never going to cover Barry Lyndon because that is the longest of the long. But yeah, man. I mean, I love space. I love NASA. I think they do great work. Okay. And I am a huge supporter of science.
Now that I've derailed the podcast yet again.
Yet again.
I
really feel like you have ulterior motives.
I admit to nothing. We're going to be watching Full Metal Jacket.
Full Metal Jacket.
Do you have the movie stats? When did this come out?
I sure have the movie stats. It came out in 1987. It is rated R. It is 1 hour and 56 minutes long, which I guess is also kind of long.
No, I feel like that's relatively short compared to some of these that we've been doing.
I guess. Yeah, I do love this movie. Obviously, it's a Stanley Kubrick. This is a lot of people that you've seen before. You've seen Matthew Modine most recently as Eleven's real dad on Stranger Things. Mm. Yeah, the bad guy. He is Private Joker. You've seen Arlie Ermey. I mean, we love Arlie. He had a show on Discovery for a while. He's been in a bunch of movies. We just saw him in The Frighteners. He was a drill sergeant in the Marines before he started acting. I mean, he's just...
So all of his acting comes from, like, real-life experience?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's absolutely pretty cool. So, I mean, you're seeing the real thing there. Vincent D'Onofrio, who is the creepiest creep that ever crept. He's Private Pyle, and you've seen him in a lot of other things. Where he's been creepy and not so creepy, so he's got range. But he's absolutely terrifying in this. You've seen Adam Baldwin. If you guys are fans with Adam Baldwin, let me know. If you've ever seen Firefly and Serenity, he's Jane. I love him in that. He's got the hat that looks like a candy corn, which I love. Dorian Haywood, you've definitely seen before. You've seen all these people. I mean, these are just folks that you know and love that you've seen a bunch of times. So a lot of famous faces in this movie. A lot of talent.
Much like our other war movie, there was a lot of famous faces.
Yeah, I think it's like one of those things to have on your resume as an actor. Like, you want to have a good war movie under your belt. I am learning that about myself, that I do like war movies for one reason or another. And you know what else? I think my little Velmi likes war movies. Our little Pod Pop.
I know your little Velmi likes war movies.
I think she also enjoys war movies. She seems to really tune in whenever we watch these types.
Do you know
of things.
Who else likes war movies? Your dang frog.
Yeah, the frogs usually will start popping off whenever I watch a war movie. So. Yeah.
A lot of this house likes war movies or the sounds of battle, be they like traditional war or like sci-fi battle or like, you know, kaiju or whatever
it
is.
It's an odd thing.
I know this is going to be a good movie. I also know that I will just be angry and kind of sad, and I won't know why or how to express those feelings.
Not too bad for you.
I know. All right. What are we going to be snacking on as we watch this?
Well, it's the fourth, bro. So, I mean, you know,
burgers and dogs.
Burgers and dogs are going to have a beer.
Burgers and dogs and beers, man.
I mean, you know, America.
America.
America. We're going to set off some...
Semi-legal fireworks
in the backyard and make all our dogs very upset and have a good time.
Sweet. America. Let's get this over with.
It's going to be great.
Paris Island. South Carolina, the United States Marine Corps Recruit Depot, an 8-week college for the phony tough and the crazy brave.
That is not your daddy's shotgun, cowboy. Private Joker is silly and he's ignorant, but he's got guts, and guts is enough. Most of you will go to Vietnam. Some of you will not come back. Cowboy.
Sir, yes, sir.
All 300, infantry. Joker.
Sir, yes, sir.
4212, basic military journalism. You think you're Mickey Spillane?
Sir, I wrote for my high school newspaper, sir.
I hate the name, Joker. I want to go out to the field.
You wasted your first day in the field, and it'd be my fault.
Joker, you will take off that button. How's it going to look if you get killed wearing a peace symbol?
you've got written on your helmet. Born to kill, sir. You write born to kill on your helmet and you wear a peace button. Don't you love your country?
Yes, sir.
Why don't you jump on the team and come on in for the big win?
I'm squad leader.
Follow anywhere, scumbag.
I need help.
I'm trying to help you, Leonard.
Five rounds?
7.62 millimeter. Full metal jacket.
Does anybody know who Lee Harvey Oswald was? Private Snowball!
Sir, he shot Kennedy, sir.
And do you know how far away he was, Private?
Sir, it was pretty far. From that book suppository building, sir.
Oh, good times. And that was the only funny moment in this movie.
I mean, there were a couple like mildly other funny moments, but they were also pure panic moments. So like,
good times.
this movie, we go from basic training to combat, and we don't have a good time in any of it.
No, well, you know, war is hell.
War is hell.
We learned that from Apocalypse Now, right?
Yup.
What are you gonna do?
Love the smell of napalm in the morning. What war was Apocalypse Now?
That was kind of in between wars.
Oh, okay.
Remember they were going to rescue...
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Colonel Kurtz, my long-lost relative.
Okay. Trigger warnings?
Find me something that was not a trigger warning, and we'll talk about it then.
This whole movie is very uncomfortable, especially if you don't like war, and... just traumatic and awful and like riddled with horrible language and like
racial slurs.
Racial slurs, homophobic language, including the F slur. Like, I mean, there's gun violence, there's suicide.
I don't think there's drug use. I think we got off easy there.
Yep. There's sexual language, sexual innuendo.
Yep.
Solicitation
of sex work.
It's rough. It's a rough one.
Yeah. We had a chat about this because it was like, we don't have a lot of moments written down.
Right.
Because we were like, okay, well, it's uncomfortable. Is it more uncomfortable to watch with a parent, a child, you know, grandma, whatever?
Your neighbor, your pastor.
And I think yes, but for different reasons.
Like, generally, yes?
Yes.
Okay. Do you want to talk about that?
Yes.
Okay. Do you want to talk about that after we go through the plot or before?
I don't know. Okay. let's just start and see what happens.
Okay. Okay. So where do we first start
off? Okay. Well, for those who don't know, I'll just give you, like, the general shakedown of how this is. I mean, hopefully you guys learned in your American history class about the Tet Offensive. I'm guessing the blank look on your face means
the Tet Offensive.
The Tet Offensive during the Vietnam conflict? No?
We probably did. I don't.
Well, that's what this movie was about. So I'm a little more worried now.
I didn't really like history class. So okay. It kind of shut boop, boop. All I remember is that there was conflict when we were expanding because Polk.
Okay, you know about Vietnam, though, right?
I do.
You have, like,
I
a basic.
Yeah, yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Cool. All right, your grandfather was there. So,
well, I don't know why we went to war.
Nobody knows. Okay. Like, that's a whole other conversation I do not want to have, or else we may, like, risk losing
the
Super 8.
No, you're good.
Um, But there was something called the Tet Offensive, which happened during the New Year celebration in Vietnam.
Oh, okay. So that was that whole scene.
They had a conversation about it during the movie. And Private Joker was like, hey, I think this is going to go down. And like the head of the Stars and Stripes, which was like the news correspondents, was like, no. They say this every year. Nothing ever happens. Blahzy, blahzy. And then like, hey, surprise.
It did go down.
Yes. A bunch of attacks were set off around Vietnam to kind of like disrupt everything and really shake things up, and then like, you know, hijinks ensue. So that was kind of the crux of this. You have Private Joker, who is kind of the main character that you follow. You have the first half of the movie is kind of basic training all these kids, and I'll just call them kids because they're probably all like 18, 19 years old.
And Private Joker is the narrator, correct?
Correct. Showing up at boot camp for the U.S. Marines, you know, for the 8 weeks in, I think, South Carolina.
And South Carolina.
Then they are all shipped off to Vietnam, and they're just kind of hanging out, and you follow Joker, who is a news correspondent, and they're just kind of, him and his friend Raptor Man are just like, hey, you know, Raptor Man wants to be out in the field, and he wants to be in the shit, and he wants to see some stuff. It's like, a high schooler could do this. And Lane Joker's like, you're cool. Like, I don't want to be responsible for you. I don't want anything to happen to you. And he's kind of like wanting some action. And Joker's like, yeah, we don't need it. And the next thing you know, like, it's the Tet Offensive. Yeah. And people start attacking. And then they end up going out into Vietnam and getting involved in the conflict itself. So that's kind of the basic outline of what happens in this movie. So it's all about Vietnam. The first half is just, and I say half, it's a little generous.
It's about
45 minutes of the movie where they're just going through basic, trying to become Marines from children. And then they end up in the last, you know, like two-thirds, I guess, is them actually in Vietnam and what happens to them there. So that's that. So
do you want to start with moments?
We can.
Okay.
Yeah.
So keep in mind, as we go through these moments, the whole thing is uncomfortable. The whole thing is riddled with sexual language, homophobic language, racist language.
Like, I mean, and bear in mind, this was like the late 60s when this is going on. So this is, you know, it's heartily in the past. It is in a military situation.
Yes,
I don't know
another point.
Anybody who's listening is military. If you grew up in a military family, if you have, you know, friends or family who served, it's a different kind of environment. And a lot of things kind of were said and done differently, you know, because there were different intentions. And I mean, you have a drill sergeant who's riding your ass, and he's, you know, being intentionally mean to you to keep you safe at the end of the day, is to build you up, to make you strong, to kind of tear you down, to build you back up so that you have a different mindset and that you can survive when you are put out into this war. So it's mean, it's terrible, and you know, it's like heartbreaking, but it's like a necessary thing that they would do. So it's you have to kind of bear that in mind, I guess, when you watch something like this.
Yeah. My disclaimer. No, a good disclaimer.
So it's bad.
It's bad.
It's bad. That being said, it's bad, you know.
None of it's great.
Like, if you're not used to that sort of thing, or if you've not ever been around it.
If you've never, like, seen it or experienced, like,
yeah,
it's not great.
Yeah, it's going to be, it could be shocking for sure.
That being said, the first, so all of these scenes are, like, where it peaks is what we were going for.
Yeah, because, I mean, the whole time, I mean, and it's Arlie Ermey, if anybody's familiar with him, I mean, he was a drill sergeant forever, and then, you know, a consultant in Hollywood doing these movies, and, you know, he's been around forever, and he's just, at the end of the day, he's a lovable guy, but he's playing like a total asshole. Yeah. And he even says, like, you're not going to like me. Like, I'm going to treat you like shit and you're going to hate me, but that's just the way it is.
That's what I got to do.
Yeah. And so the whole time he's like really being awful. He's calling them every name in the book and just being like super terrible and mean to them. So there's going to be just like coarse language from the jump, insults from the jump. I think from like minute
slurs
one.
Slurs from the jump.
Yeah, I think literally from minute one. So, I mean, this is just some of the more interesting ones, I guess.
Right. So, one of, which is preceded by another very uncomfortable exercise, but the exercise that we, like the training exercise, the humility exercise, I don't even know what you want to call it, that we figured this peaked on was 12 minutes, 42 seconds to 13 minutes, 7 seconds. The boys are marching through the barracks, I guess.
Yeah, they're in the barracks.
They're in the barracks with like t-shirts and boxers, doing like a little chant about their rifle and gun.
They're in cadence.
Thank you.
They're marching in cadence. And like every time they're marching in cadence, it's always something dirty.
Anytime you're in cadence, it's always something dirty. None of the ones that I can remember are anything pleasant. But we included this one because as part of their cadence, they are grabbing their crotch, like very directly, very obviously, like grabbing their crotch, which it's a bit of a peak. Their cadence chant is, this is my rifle, this is my gun, this is for fighting, this is for fun, as they're like grabbing their crotch. So
it's a little bit more physical than some of the other ones. I mean, but that's
the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, I mean, if you've made it to that point, like, you might as well just keep going.
You've already made it past where the drill sergeant's telling them that their gun is the only anything they're gonna get. I don't want to say that
it's the only lovin' they're ever gonna have, so you might as well stop dreaming of, you know,
right,
doing what you're doing with little
Mary Jo down the street.
Yeah, well, it wasn't exactly Mary Jo, but
no, but it was fairly close to Mary Jo. It was fairly close to Mary Jo.
It was Mary something.
Mary Sue.
Yeah, I mean, they had to give their rifles
their
a lady's name.
Lady's name, and like they were gonna sleep with their rifles. It was like it was a whole thing, and they do this like little like prayer thing about their. It's a whole thing.
And I say that about the puppy.
She does, and I didn't realize this is why she said that. She doesn't say the whole thing, just like the beginning.
This is my Velma. There are many like it, but this one is mine.
Says that all the time.
I do. Well, it's true.
It's true. And then for the next little bit, we're, you know, as safe as we're going to be in this movie, which is...
You're not safe. No.
But
throughout the film, you're really watching Joker and you're watching...
Cowboy.
And really Private Pyle. Yeah, they call him Gomer Pyle. He's like... big, kind of oafy, like,
doofy.
Yeah, you could tell something's like not quite clicking with this guy.
He doesn't seem quite all there.
He's kind of chubby. He's out of shape. Like, he can't get over the obstacles. He's like keep messing up the drills, like between like his left and his right and stuff. And you know, it gets to the point where
well, the drill sergeant starts taking it out on the rest of the team versus Pyle himself.
Yeah, because they paired him up with Joker and they're like, you're with him now. He's going to show you everything. And he does like a pretty good job.
Yeah, the drill sergeant takes a fondness to Joker because Joker is bold and like says what's on his mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's assertive.
Right.
And so that was working okay, but he was still messing up. So then he's like, I'm punishing the wrong person. Like, I should be punishing, like, you're not motivating him enough. Like, so I'm going to punish all of you every time he messes up.
Right. He starts taking it out on everyone else. And at one point, Pyle even talks to Joker and is like, you all hate me now because I suck and I keep messing up. And Joker's like, no, we don't hate you, it's okay. Or I don't hate you, it's okay. And then in the middle of the night, everybody wraps their soap in their towel to create like a sort of like flail-esque thing.
Yeah, it's like a prison move.
Yeah. And three people pin Pyle to the to his bunk.
Yeah, and they throw the blanket over him, and two guys hold him down on either side so he can't move. Yeah, and then somebody else puts a gag in his mouth. And they all wang him with the soap.
Even Joker, who's hesitant, but he still does it.
He still does. And then he does it harder than anybody because he's been saddled with this dude.
Yeah. He's angry.
And it's like, you need to stop messing up. And this dude was just like, he could not stop messing up.
No.
But then, like, once they got everybody, like, everybody to pay. Yeah. And there's this terrible scene of him. They find a his footlocker was unlocked during inspection, and they find a chili donut in there.
Well, that's one of the instigating scene where the punishment turns to the team.
And it's just like, there's this iconic thing where he's like, a jelly donut? What are you doing with it? And it's like this whole thing where he goes off on him, and he's just standing there, and he's forced to eat this jelly donut while, like, the rest of the squad is doing push-ups around him. And he's just, like, standing there in his undies, like, eating a jelly donut. And it is, like, the saddest thing you've ever seen in your entire life. It's horrible.
It's horrible.
It just breaks your heart.
Right. So after he gets beat to heck with the soap flails, the next day at whatever little training thing they're doing, he is performing very well, but when they're saying all the words that they're supposed to be saying, he's not saying anything. And you can tell, like, oh, that man broke. Like, he's done.
Well, what they're saying is it's the code of the bayonet, which I know because your godmother was in the military. She was not in the Marines, thank God. But she did have to do the code of the bayonet, where it was like, what makes the grass grow?
Blood.
Blood, blood, blood. And then what is your job? Kill, kill, kill. I can't hear you. Kill, kill, kill.
Right. And he says none of it. He just kind of has this, like, far off stare.
Yeah.
Which is very not great.
No, it's not great.
So this next scene that we're going to talk about. At this point in the film, it's like, oh, like, I'm expecting it to go.
Yeah, we know something's wrong because you see the shot with Cowboy and Joker. They're cleaning the head and Joker's keyed in. Like, he's like, something's up. He's going to go Section 8. Like, he's talking to his rifle, like, because he was cleaning it and he was speaking to it, like, as he was doing it.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to get you nice and clean. You're very
great action, blah, blah, blah. So they kind of know something's up. But they're graduating. So they're like, okay, well, he made it. Like, everything's cool, cool, cool. Like, we're going to get out of here. I never have to see this guy again. Like, I'll be fine.
I'll talk about what I want to talk about after I tell you what happens, because otherwise it won't make sense. So from 40 minutes 46 to 45 29, it's the night before graduation or after graduation?
It's after graduation.
The
They've already
night
graduated.
After graduation.
They've been assigned.
It's
their
final night in the barracks on this island where they've been training. And Joker is doing, like, patrol. Yes. Joker goes into the bathroom because he hears this sound. And he finds Private Pyle loading a magazine, and he asks him, he says, and Private Pyle is terrifying in this moment.
He, like, is.
He's a spooky looking dude.
He is horrible. And he just has that look where you're just like, are the crazy eyes.
He does that look through the brow type of, like, crazy eye moment, which everyone knows, you know, where you, like, look up through your brow and it's, like, super spooky.
It almost looks like his eyes are, like,
rolled back. He does it. That actor does it very well. And so Joker asks him, are those live rounds? And Pyle says, like, in this, like, monotone spooky voice, 7.62 millimeter full metal jacket.
Yeah. Full metal jacket.
And it's that moment where you're like, oh, that's the name of the movie, but also, like, no.
Yeah, like, it's about to go down.
Like, it's just a very spooky scene. And then Joker's trying to talk him down, and everyone hears what's going on because Pyle then starts doing, like, the motions of the, like, gun carry thing.
Right.
I don't know if that has drills. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And then finally the drill sergeant comes in and he's like, what are you boys doing in here messing around in my head? Like, and Joker tells him, hey, Pyle's got a magazine full of live rounds. And things go south from there.
Right. Because the drill sergeant's like, you know, you need to give this to me right now, doing like his whole like authoritarian thing. And at this point, like, it's not working. Like, that's not what, like, that was not the approach that was going to work.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So Pyle ends up shooting the drill sergeant, and then he sits down on the toilet.
Well, first he turns the gun to Joker.
First he turns the gun to Joker. Sorry.
And Joker's like, just, you know, be cool.
Yeah, Joker just be cool. Convinces him to be cool.
Yeah, like, puts his hands up and he's just like, back it off. Like, it's cool. Like, just let's be okay.
Like, I don't want to fight. Like,
yeah.
And then Pyle turns the gun on himself and kills himself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, I had expected it. So, growing up, when I did in school, the thing that it immediately reminded me of before we even got to like the moment that I saw him break, I was immediately reminded of this one ad, and I was like, oh yeah, I guess that was a really good ad, but like gun, like, hey, if any of your friends are looking really sus, like they might shoot up the school, you know, here are some warning signs to look out for, was like drilled into our heads.
Right.
But there was this one ad that went around, and I had to watch it like probably 10 times at least. And it looks like a cute love story at first of like writing on a desk. And then they're like at a yearbook signing and they're like, oh my God, you're that person that I was writing to on the desk. How cute. And then suddenly a kid shows up with a bunch of guns and they go through, I bet you didn't see these warning signs in the background of this story that we were telling you. And
I don't think I've ever seen this.
Oh my God. We're looking like, up this.
I am hearing this for the first time.
Yeah, because I just.
I think we should put this on our social media.
I'll put it on our
as part of the.
I'm like half tempted when this sometimes comes out. On. Podcasts I listen to, they'll just play it and then you can hear the audio, but I kind of hate that, so I'm half tempted to do it now, but I'll wait. Remind me. And immediately I was brought back to that ad of being like, oh yeah, Pyle's gonna end up shooting up the barracks, all of them are gonna die, I guess this is it, oh well. So I definitely had expected it to go much worse at multiple, so like as soon as the drill sergeant went in, I was like, he's dead. Oh yeah. Well.
Yeah.
And I really thought like before we even like turn the camera back into the restroom itself, I thought like we were just gonna see the flash and then like he was gonna come out and just start going off on people. So thankful that didn't happen. But like, yeah, as someone who definitely had a lot of the, hey, here's what you need to look for in case, you know, someone that you know or someone that you don't really know but you see occasionally in the halls is going to shoot up the school. Like, look for these things.
Right.
That immediately was like, oh, yeah, this is what's going to happen.
Right.
And I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it came across very well before the everything, but I don't know how much of a difference there is.
Well, I think it was, you know, you're meant to understand that something bad was going to happen.
Right, right. Right.
And I don't think anybody was like unprepared for this to go badly.
Right.
This was a movie, you know, made in like 1987. So we still didn't have great mental health. And it was about a time when there was even less mental health. So, I mean, you know, we're watching a film about a guy who knows that this guy is about to like lose his mind, knows that he's crazy. And he takes it as far as having a quick conversation with his friend about it while they're like mucking out a bathroom. And that's pretty much the beginning of ending of it. Like,
yeah.
He knows this is like, he knows then that this is going to end badly. He tells his friend, they're like, yep, sure is. Like, they walk on. Like, that's it.
I do want to say real quick, like, we're not professionals. We're just saying things as people.
Yeah.
I don't want anyone to take like our word as, you know, any more than just people talking about a situation.
No, but I think this is, you know, one of those situations where if you see something, say something.
100%.
I don't want to sound like the TSA, but like, it's better.
It's better to say something.
It's better to say something. And I mean, if you're worried that somebody's going to get mad at you or that you're breaking trust or whatever, if you're that worried where it's like, you know what? I know this person. They're acting different.
They're acting weird. They're saying, hey, you shouldn't show up to school tomorrow. Like, say something. I know a lot of schools have anonymous tip things now. I know that it's hard to do that because it's like they only told a few people, so they're bound to suspect you anyway. Or like I know the cops will let you do an anonymous thing. I know that whole situation.
I think
is tricky
most
as well,
places,
but
especially these days, will let you do whatever you need to do anonymously.
An anonymous thing, which if you don't want to be involved, you don't have to be involved. But like,
yeah,
legit.
It's better to let somebody know that something's going on, because I mean, this is the kind of stuff that has happened. I mean, this is not completely out of the realm of, you know, possibility.
No,
like that.
And
this
I
is
feel
a
like
terribly strange thing that went on. I mean, it's a terrible thing.
It's definitely
but
a terrible thing. And I mean, you know, we still have these like mass shootings and all that
right,
stuff all the
because
time. So
mental health in this country is not taken care of as well as it should. And this is coming from a time where it was even less when this movie was made, and a time when it was even not even on the radar, you know, at a time then, you know, mm-hmm. what this movie is about. So I mean, you've got it's during the Vietnam War. There is a draft. They're just taking bodies. Like, they don't care who you are. The psych test is a joke. Like, they're just taking people. Like, are you breathing? Do you have a pulse?
Can you stand? Can
like,
you
can
walk?
You hear out of both ears? You can see out of both eyes? Like, okay, we're good to go. So this was just like you don't talk about it.
No. And during that joke that we did, they were asking if people knew who these like
killers
were, these like shooters were.
Yeah, like they talked about you know, University of Texas sniper.
Right.
You know, right before that. And then they're talking about Lee Harvey Oswald. And, you know, we're not going to conspiracy theory that one about the second gunman or anything. Like, that's a whole other thing.
That's a whole other
thing. I will die on the hill of the moon landing, but I'm not touching the Kennedy assassination.
Nah, Red Dwarf already handled that one. So, I mean, like,
because we're not nerds. Red Dwarf reference. Oh my god,
that's my that's like my favorite episode of Red
really?
Dwarf.
Really? My favorite is the polymorph.
That one's great. That one's wonderful. I just really think that one is so fun because I was learning about that in history class. Like right when I watched it, I was like, "This is
okay." So you learned about that in history class?
Yes.
Okay. So you learned about something.
I just remember my teacher like drawing it on the board and being like, "I'm not going to tell you if there was a second shooter or not."
Grassy knoll.
And like giving us all the look like draw your own conclusion. Yes. I don't know. They were talking about all these, you know, confirmed like
murderers,
these killers, these public gunmen who like killed innocent people, and they're like, yeah, they all trained with the Marines. Like, you guys are gonna learn how to do that.
yeah there's no weapon more dangerous than a Marine and his rifle. So
I mean,
but I mean, again, like, this is a very different environment, and
yes,
he's training these boys
to be killers.
Because he knows they're most of them are going straight to Vietnam,
right, which is where they need killers in their minds to be,
right, because they will die.
Yes. it's a very kill or be killed environment in war, and I find that annoying.
Annoying is a great, great term.
Frustratingly, I don't know how to describe my feelings.
So there you go. So,
yeah, that scene is uncomfortable and difficult for various reasons. I definitely feel like if we're watching this movie, we need to talk about it. So.
Right. And I think, and I know that Kat and I had this conversation about, like, you know, this movie is super uncomfortable and there's a lot of reasons. Like, is it worse watching it with a loved one? And for me, this part was very uncomfortable watching with Kat, because I was like, how is she going to take this? Because I know that she has a tendency to get very upset and emotionally involved in things. And I know this is a very hard scene to watch. So for me, it was like, is she going to be like Stoops upset by this? Is this a conversation I'm going to have for the next several months? I can't believe you made me watch that. This was horrible.
It turned out so much better than I was expecting. Like, I was expecting to lose everyone. So I was like, oh, okay. We're kind of okay.
I just feel that he does such a good job.
He does a really, really good job.
Terrifying of being terrifying. In that
absolutely.
Scene.
And I think he does a really good job of the build up to it. Because immediately you can see him break and then you can just see it devolve from there.
Right.
And it's a nice steady. It's not like a sudden spike. It's a steady progression.
Yeah. And it's almost a shame because, you know, he has this switch that gets flipped and he actually becomes a better soldier.
Yeah.
Because of it.
Yeah.
You know, and the drill sergeant's actually like, you know, hey, you know, I may just let you be a rifleman in my corps because you've really been born again. Like, look at you. And, you know, he's doing his drills. He's dressing. He's making his bunk. He's doing everything that he's supposed to do well, you know, that he hadn't been able to do before. And, you know, then here we go. So it sucks.
It's rough.
Sucks.
Indeed.
Yep. Don't like it.
Yeah, so after that, we cut to black and I for a brief moment thought that's how they're ending the movie.
Because,
oh my
god,
Kubrick
movies are always so short.
I didn't realize how short it was, honestly, because there's so
it
much
feels
that happens
like a while. Yeah, it's definitely a two-parter, so I mean, if you want this to be a good time to get a lemonade,
yeah, just pause, maybe
breathe,
take a little break,
a little bit, take a nice walk, hug your dog,
yeah,
whatever you want to do.
Call up your friend, be like, oh my god, have you seen this? Do you know what happens? When we come back, our good boy Joker is off on his deployment with, what's his name, Raptor Man. Sitting at a table in a nice little Vietnamese town where they are approached by a sex worker.
Oh yeah, she love you long time.
She love you long time. Sucky, sucky.
Yeah, they're arguing over the price and they're like whittling her down to like $5 from
yeah,
15
she,
bucks.
She wants 15 each and they're like $5 each. So that happens like right after 46:15 to 47:30.
Yeah, and it's awful. It's awful.
it's really not great.
Like, poor Vietnamese sex workers. You're just like, oh my god, what the hell? Like, this is just terrible for like $5.
Yeah, and like the way that she talks about what they can do and what they seem to want to do is just like not good.
No.
It's not pleasant for like anyone. Well, for her at all. But yeah, that's just a straight up, you know, scene there. Nothing really to expand upon.
No.
But, you know, they end up getting interrupted because a kid steals Raptor Man's camera.
Yeah.
Then they do, like, cool little...
Yeah, these, like, strange little karate moves that kind of come out of nowhere. And then he, like, drives off on a scooter.
On a scooter. It's pretty great.
And then after that, they go back to their base, and you know, there's like some light banter until we get to the Tet Offensive, which is when Joker and Raptor Man actually go off into like the heat of battle, and they join up with Cowboy's unit. And then that's when the movie kind of ramps up there,
right? And Joker and Raptor Man finally meet up with Cowboy. He's staying in this like chateau, like what are you
you call it a chateau? It's like a ruined building. It was probably a temple.
It looked too nice to be a house, but it didn't. I didn't know what it was. And they're all like chilling in this now courtyard. I guess it at one point was a room. And the one guy calls over Raptor Man with his camera. It's like, hey, photographer, you want to take a picture of something? Take a picture of my friend here. And it's a dead Vietnamese
guy. Just kind of chilling.
And they goof on him being dead and stuff for quite a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the love hogs get sent out to
lust hogs.
Lust hogs, whatever. Then the lust hogs get sent out to a city, a big city, yeah. Mm-hmm. Which looks very similar, if it's not the same city, to where they were approached by the sex worker before.
I don't think it's the same space, okay. Because that was close to the base.
Okay, I wasn't sure because it definitely looks similar.
I am terrible with geography, and that probably, you know, does a lot of lacking for me in this movie. But they're moving out. They're going to a city. Like there's tanks. There's bombs. People are getting blown up.
Can we talk about that helicopter ride for a second?
Oh, how they're shooting the people out the window.
Yeah. So Joker and Raptor Man get on the helicopter with this guy, and this guy is just mowing down randos.
Yeah, just like working in the rice paddies, and he's just like shooting them.
Yeah, and he's like 100 and whatever confirmed kills, and Joker's like, women and do you kill women and children? And he's like, yeah, you just gotta lead them less. Yeah. And it's like, and he like laughs and jokes about it, and it's like, these are innocent people.
Yeah, I think you can kind of tell from this movie how Stanley Kubrick felt about the war. I think that there's really no question how Stanley Kubrick felt about the war.
Very similarly to how I feel about the war. which I feel like is a theme for these war movies that we've been watching, is that these people who made these movies don't like the war.
I mean, I don't know if anybody like loved the war. I think it's one of those things. It's like, you know, you want to support the troops because you know them, and they're just people, you know, out there who are being sent to like a horrible place, but the war is horrible. Like nobody wants that. Like nobody wants this.
Yeah.
Like it's just bad. And you see like people do terrible things just to stay alive. And, you know, it kind of makes you question everything. So it's like, you know, what are we really getting here? And I have a number of other ones you can watch that make you question even more. I mean, if you watch Band of Brothers, it's like a whole other thing. That's like all World War II and what happened in the forest there. And
next year.
That's a whole series. I don't know if you're in for that.
Oh, I don't
that's
know that
like,
I am.
It's a while. It's a while that you have to watch that. And I watched that the one Memorial Day. That was like my thing. I was like, I'm going to watch a whole Band of Brothers in like 2 days. And it's sad. It makes you very sad because it's like you get to know these guys and you're like, how in the hell did you even get out of there in one piece?
Yeah.
Like, how did you do that?
And then these people have to like reintegrate into normal human society.
Well, you know, and that was the thing about Vietnam, is because it was an unpopular war. Nobody wanted to be there. There was so many protests and all this stuff. And then you have these guys who were drafted. They had to go, or, you know, who enlisted because they love their country and they wanted to serve. And, you know, they thought they were doing the right thing, and they get over there, and maybe it was the right thing, maybe it wasn't. I'm certainly not going to get into that. And, you know, they come back and they're all fucked up, and there was no hero's welcome. It wasn't like World War II or Korea or anything where they're coming back and everybody's like, yay, the troops, you know, there's no like V-Day, you know, whatever. And, you know, it was a thing.
No, it's really tragic that these people just had to come back to nothing because, you know, no one seems to really care that they were back.
No. And, you know, they got treated very badly, you know?
Yeah. It's not fair.
No. And it's like, it's so dumb. There's this one commercial that they run sometimes on Veterans Day where it's like, they have, you know, like a family who's like eating in the diner, and there's like a young guy that's like in uniform, and he's like comes back in, and you know, the little kid is like asks the guy, hey, can I get a picture taken with you? You're a hero, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, sure, son, come over here. And he takes a picture with the guy. And then they see like an old grizzled dude, like with his like Vietnam cap on, and he's got like, you know, his like, you know, Marine tattoo or whatever on. And he like kind of glances over, and he goes back to like eating his breakfast or whatever. And the little kid comes over and he's like, my dad says you're a hero too. Can I have my picture with you? And it's just like, oh my God.
That's so beautiful.
That's so beautiful. Oh my God. It's just like one of those things. things. Because these guys really got treated badly, and it's not it's not their fault. You know, it's not their fault. And it just sucks. But I mean, that doesn't mean that there weren't, I mean, there's always bad people who do bad things, you know? And like the guy in the helicopter was one of them.
Yeah.
You know? So there you go.
Yes.
My spiel.
No.
On the war.
So, gosh, a lot happens before we get to this next moment. Do we want to go into it? Do we want to give like a general summary? Do we want to gloss over it? What do we want to do?
I mean, it's kind of hard because they're just moving through. And you know, people are getting blown up and shot. And then there's dead bodies, and it's just horrible. And I mean, you know, all of that is in and of itself horrible and uncomfortable. But I mean, you know, the next thing we got is just another sex worker solicitation, which is, you know, more of a traditional uncomfortable thing.
Yep. Yeah, because between like a battle where they're getting shot, like two of the people just died. And, you know, the next one where various of them are going to die, they're approached by a guy on a scooter with a woman who is offering sex for money.
And again, they talk her down to $5.
They talk her down to $5.
So I guess like $5 was like the going rate.
The other time they were only able to manage to get her down to $10.
$10. But there was two of them.
There was two of them. So, yeah, $5 is what the going rate for. And they argue in the exact same way, too.
Yeah.
It's like, that's just what you say when these people approach you.
And it was funny because was it 8-Ball that got the he was like, yeah, you know, it's cool, like I got $5, here you go. And she's like, no, I don't want him. And he's like, is there some kind of a problem, like she doesn't like black guys, like what's the deal? And he's like, no, she's saying you're like too
buco.
And he's like, what are you talking about? Like, what do you? And he's like, oh, you packing too much meat.
Yeah. And then he takes his meat out and shows her, and she's like, oh, actually, that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. He said it's like Alabama black snake.
Black snake. Yep. That's what it was.
And she's like, oh, okay. But then Animal Mother comes anyway. And he's like, nope, I'm going first. And then he makes like a horrible racial slur. And that's the thing. But I mean, they just kind of laugh it off because war is hell.
War is hell. And Animal Mother is I Am Become Death on his little helmet, which you say about Bellamy as well all the time.
I do. No, I Am Become Death, Destroyer of Worlds.
You say that about Bellamy and about Peets when she brings us all of her.
She killed a rabbit today. And I loved it for Rodney to clean up. And he was like, I was just petting her upstairs, and she's so cute. I was like, you were petting the fur of a killer.
It's the fur of a killer, Bella.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's our last, like...
Like, traditionally uncomfortable.
I don't know that I gave the times for that. That's 1 hour 23:24 to 1 hour 25:38. And that's our last traditional uncomfortable moment. I don't know if you want to talk about
the end.
Because I figured you would.
Again, it was another thing where I was like, is she going to be okay with this? Because am I going to fucking hear this?
We didn't mark down a time for the end.
No, because the whole next part is just awful.
It's just awful. It's war. I mean,
if you make it this far, just strap in. Just strap in. It's not going to be any better.
So the platoon is now being led by
Cowboy
for, you know, because various other people had died in the chain of command to get to Cowboy.
I mean, it was like three people,
three people got blown up, and then it was like, oh, Cowboy, you're in charge now. And 8-Ball is scouting. And he's like, hey.
Well, they got lost.
Right. But he's the one with the map, and he's the one that's like, right.
So he's like, we've got to change directions. We have to turn around.
Right. Because we're supposed to be here. We're actually over here. We need to like figure out how to get to where we need to be.
And the problem is there's like a cluster of buildings there. So they can't really see what's ahead of them.
Right. So he's going to go scout it out. And he like runs over to about like midway through these buildings, and he's like, oh, everything looks fine. He starts to wave them over, and then he gets shot.
Right. So there's a sniper.
And they're like, oh, there's a sniper. And everyone starts shooting, and It's a whole cowboy multiple times tries to get them to stop shooting and chill for a minute because it's one sniper and they can't see the sniper.
Yeah, and he's like, I've seen this before. What they're going to do is they're going to shoot him again and again and try and get us all to come out there. And then
one by one,
shoot all of us. Yep. And we're all going to die. And of course, like, Doc is like, no, I got to get him out of there. We don't leave people behind like this. And he goes out there and he gets shot.
Yep.
So then Animal Mother is crazy. So then he's like, you know what? Screw you guys. I'm not leaving these guys out here. I'm going to go out there. So then
he does not get shot.
He does not get shot, but
he almost gets shot.
And
he is able to lure the rest of them out there. They all line up behind a different building. Cowboy tries to radio in.
Yeah, because they said they were going to send a tank, and then they can't wait for the tank, and Cowboy wanted to pull out, like, from immediately. So he wants to, like, give them an update on what's going on, because this poor kid has no clue.
Right. And through the window of the building they're crouched behind, he gets shot.
He gets shot.
So Cowboy is now dead. And the rest of everyone, it's, like, four people at this point.
Yeah, it's not very many.
So,
like, Animal Mother turns to Joker, and he's like, let's go get some revenge.
Right.
And he's like, you know what? Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, let's go. So they all, they throw some smoke bombs, and I don't know, everything's on fire. I missed how the fire happened.
I think it was just not fair because they had blown up a lot of the building. They were shooting grenades at it.
Okay.
Like, there was a lot of destruction happening.
So they managed to get through all of this fire to the building and up into the building. And Joker sees the sniper, goes to shoot, and his gun malfunctions. His, like, big rifle machine gun type of boy, automatic boy malfunctions. You can tell I know a lot about guns. That was a disappointed sigh.
It's fine.
Is it? Do you know what gun it is?
It's just like a big rifle automatic boy would not have been how I would have described it, but it's cool.
How would you describe it?
It doesn't matter. I'm just going. That is the only way I'm describing guns from now on. That is my preferred go-to method of describing firearms. Big automatic rifle boy. Or was it big rifle boy? Big rifle automatic boy? Big automatic rifle boy.
It was an automatic.
I want to get the technical term.
I don't know. It looked like vaguely in the shape of a rifle, but was automatic. So that boy malfunctions and, like, jams, and the sniper hears it and turns and starts shooting at him. And he hides behind a little pillar and grabs his handgun. And then Raptor Man comes from around a different corner and shoots the sniper.
But who is the sniper? Because that's the thing.
The sniper is this, like, this woman. I don't know if she's a girl.
She's a girl.
She is a girl.
She's just a little girl.
I wasn't sure if she was. She's
like, just maybe their age.
It's like another freaking little girl, like, child who got, like, thrust into doing this war.
Yeah,
type
she's
of
like
deal.
A teenager. Like, she's just this little
right.
girl with,
and
like,
she's
this
not,
big ass rifle.
Yeah,
and she's just
not like
shooting
in a military
at him. So
uniform
angry.
Type of deal. She's just
a person.
A person who got wrapped up in this situation. And it has to do this. Like, she doesn't have a choice for whatever reason. Yeah. So Raptor Man shoots her and she goes down. And then everyone comes into the room and circles around her as she's, like, mostly dead.
Right.
And they're talking about what they're going to do. And Joker's like, we can't leave her here. And with her final breath, she starts saying something, and they're like, what is she saying? And Joker's like, she's praying. And then they have, like, a whole discussion about what they're going to do with her. Cause Joker's like, they can't leave her there. And Animal Mother. Okay. Animal Mother is like, I'm squad leader now. I say we just split and leave her for the rats. And Joker's like, I'm not trying to be squad leader. I just don't think we can leave her here. And then she finally starts begging for them to shoot her. And Animal Mother's like, well, it's up to you now, Joker. What are you going to do? And Joker gathers up all of his strength and he shoots her dead.
Yeah.
And they're like, whoa, that's badass.
Well, I think they just said it was cold.
Yeah, said something dumb like that.
Yeah, it's ice cold. Yeah. And that's pretty much it. Then they sing the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse theme song and they get the hell out of Dodge.
Yep.
And Joker's just like, you know, I was alive and I was happy.
Yep.
And that's it. But, I mean, you know, and it was wild because Raptor Man, who was, like, just trying to get into combat and had, like, zero experience, like, he shot her.
He was so excited that he shot her. And was,
like, super excited that he blew away, like, this little, like, teenage girl.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, she was trying to kill them, but, I mean, you know, still.
She was still just a girl.
He's like, yeah.
And I think that's why Joker struggled with it so much is because, I don't know, throughout the whole thing he seems the least like on board with war type of person, but
right. No, he was wearing the peace sign,
the peace sign pin, and he's born to kill, and yeah, the duality of man is what he
says
that he's, yeah, commenting on.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, wildly uncomfortable. So yeah, I think that was uncomfortable to watch with a person who you weren't sure how is gonna react to it. I think it was made more uncomfortable by watching it with you.
Now, is that just because you knew what was going to happen?
I think it would have been either way. Like, once I had seen it, I feel like I would have been uncomfortable. Or because I knew it was happening, I would have been more uncomfortable. I don't think it matters.
I think it was definitely, like, a rough scene. But I think... I don't know if it's just with, like, war movies in general or with, like, this movie especially, but at some point I forgot that there were other people in the room with me and I was just going through this experience. Except for when that bathroom thing happened.
That's why I think it's, like, more of a parental thing because you're worried about your offspring just naturally. And you're just like, is this going to fuck her up? Am I going to have to hear about this? Like, there's so many variables here, like... Because occasionally I'll make Kat watch a movie that is, like, really sad or really messed up. And I'm like, this is a great movie. You should see this.
No.
And then,
but the thing is.
And then she gets upset and I laugh.
No. The thing is, she does that. And then right before it gets sad, she'll leave. She'll be like, all right, I have to go do this thing. And I'll be like, okay, cool, whatever. And then it will be, like, the most tragic, traumatic thing I have ever seen. And I'll just be sitting. I'm just like, but it ended so happy that they, like, ended good in the end. But they love each other. And I'll be like, everyone is dead and they are, like, rotting in their graves. Like, nothing is happy about this.
Well, I mean, not everyone is dead in this movie. Just most of them.
Just most of them. Right, exactly. But I mean, that's kind of what it is. No, and I really feel like this one wasn't as much of that. Because in those, I don't think I'm expecting to be sad. Whereas in this one... because it's a war movie, you kind of go in knowing not to hold any of these characters too dearly.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
And, like, not to trust that everyone's gonna make it.
Yeah. Yep. Sad.
Mm-hmm.
Sad. What are you gonna do?
Any final thoughts before we go into reviews?
I don't know. It's just like, I don't know. I just feel like this is one of those ones you kind of want to be gentle with. I think it's just a really good film. And I think it does a lot of things really well. So I think it can evoke a lot of feelings. And I think it just, you know, it's good to be mindful of who you're watching with and how they may feel about it.
It does all of the things that I hate about war movies really, really well. I will say that. It, like... hits on all of the keystones. Like, you have someone who is irreversibly changed by, like, what it takes to become a soldier. You have, like, children being forced to fight. You have people dealing with, like, the morality of fighting in a war that they didn't want to be part of. Like, this, all of it is just like, oh, yep, these are all the reasons that I get angry at war movies.
Yeah, and I mean, you get, like, you know, mental health and PTSD and all that
stuff. Right, which,
too,
you know, which, I feel like is never handled well in this type of thing. Pyle, it's not handled well in the thing.
Yeah, I mean, Pyle never even made it to combat.
No.
Like, he was just in basic, this happened to him. So just imagine what would have happened if he would have made it over there. I mean, how much, you know, I don't know how much worse it could have gotten, but I mean, I guess it could have.
Right,
because he was certainly gotten more skilled at what he was doing.
When Joker is talking to Pyle before Pyle like starts doing the drill, he's like, if the drill sergeant finds us, we'll be in a world of... Are we cussing on this? I keep forgetting.
I think I do occasionally.
If the drill sergeant finds us, we'll be in a world of shit. And Pyle's like, I already am in a world of shit. Like, it can't get worse.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, you know, it's terrible.
Yeah, it is.
It's just not a feel-good movie.
No. No, it's not. It's not. It's really
I don't know what our next film is. I hope it's more...
I think that we specifically planned for something that is more fun and better.
It's not August. I know September is going to suck, so... I'm hoping August is going to be more fun. Or maybe I'm just going to have to find a more fun one that we could fill in with because it's
kind of a downer. Yeah, we can find a more fun one if we need to. Yeah. Before we like end the pod. Well, no, I can do that between the things. All right. On a scale from 1 to 10, how...
Oh, this is like a good or uncomfortable?
I never remember what order we go in.
Well, I'm just going to say as far as uncomfortable,
yeah,
I'll give it a 6.
Okay.
And as far as awesome to like an awesome film, I'm going to give it like an 8.5.
As far as uncomfortable, I'm with you on a 6. I think this one, you know, is rough. 6 to watch with someone. General uncomfortable, I would rate it higher, but
yeah.
And then good. That's really hard because this is genuinely like a good movie. I cannot deny that.
It's really good.
It's just not for me. I think I'd give it like an 8. Okay. Like it's a really good, really well done movie. Like the shots and stuff are just wonderful.
I mean, you're not gonna like all the movies that we watch.
No, but I think that this is genuinely a good movie. So I'll give it an 8.
I think it's definitely worth seeing. War movie or not, I think it is.
No, I think it's good. Before we end and like we do all of our shout outs and everything, I do want to put a little call out to anyone out there, if anyone's listening. A while ago, like a good long while ago, I forget who it was, released a special edition of the Saltburn soundtrack on vinyl. And I really
can't get one. You really want that?
I kind of do. I just kind of want to see if we can get it. I didn't want it at first, which is why I did not get it. And now I'm kind of regretting it. I saw it on the TikToks. It's like, hey, we're going to be selling this thing. And I sent it to my mother being like, ha, ha, ha. Look at this awful thing. They took your least favorite scene and made like a whole thing about it.
So gross. I mean, I want to talk about the grave. Who cares? It's that.
So what they did was they made a clear vinyl filled with the bathwater. So it's like this like slightly cream colored water.
Oh, I got
in this vinyl. I can't find it for sale anywhere. I just want to know if someone out there can find it and just like let me know about where I could purchase it. That I'm just putting like a general shout, like call out, if someone finds where it can be purchased, if someone owns it and would be willing to sell it, like anything, just like let us know. Because I
don't want it.
She said she saw it and she said, I kind of feel like we should have that in our
house. I kind of feel like we should have it, but I don't want it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not the vinyl we want, but it's the vinyl we deserve.
Yeah. I mean, it would definitely be a conversation piece.
And I feel like it would really tie in with the pod. You know, so just
it's making me uncomfortable just thinking about it.
If anyone out there knows where I can acquire it, please.
I mean,
I have it on
eBay for like $200 and change.
I could only find it sold on eBay. I couldn't find it available for purchase on eBay.
I'm gonna put my foot down. Nobody's spending $200 on this thing.
Okay. Any other announcements or anything that we need to get over before we do shout outs?
I don't think so.
Okay. In that case, shout outs to Ghost, shout outs to the Colonial Theater and Blobfest. I really hope some of you guys were there. If not, there's always next year. Please come out. It's such a great time.
It is such a good time. I like promote it all the time when I talk about our town. I'm just like, it's something that we do. It's something we do really well. And it's just like a lot of fun.
Dude, my one coworker my one coworker came up and was like, hey, isn't Blobfest happening? And I was like, yeah, I'm so excited. And then my other coworker was like, that sounds stupid. I heard on the radio about it and it sounds stupid. And
you're
like,
stupid.
You're stupid. You suck. You're not allowed to be in a Phoenix Hill anymore.
Come to my town? You mess with my town and I'll come hard. Yeah. Like, I don't like that.
Yeah. So the Blobfest is great. Fully support it. Please come out. Please enjoy it next year if you didn't get the chance to this year. It's so much fun. Always the weekend after the 4th of July if you need planning.
Yeah, it's like second week in January.
It's always the weekend
July.
After the 4th of July. Yeah.
Yeah, which is the, like, the second weekend.
Normally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me think. Shout-outs to... I wanted to get all of our other shout-outs a little bit before them. Shout out to Exhumed Films for being super cool and putting on that Jeffrey Combs
event. Yeah, I mean, they do a lot of stuff.
They do a lot of stuff. They're doing a lot of stuff at the Mahoning. They do a lot of stuff at the Colonial. 24 Hour is the big one that's coming up relatively soon.
No.
October?
Yeah. I was thinking soon. Splatterfest, but they don't do Splatterfest, sorry. They just did X-Fest.
Yeah, they do X-Fest. Are they doing Camp Blood or is that
they
them?
Are
they're doing Camp Blood at the Mahoning, which is all Friday the 13th films, which if you know me, you know that I love the Friday the 13th films, so I really hope that I can see that. I'm not 100% on plans yet, but it would be awesome. Shout out to Jeffrey Combs for being an amazing actor. We're definitely going to do some more of your films. As we were watching them in the theater, we were like, oh, yeah, we should probably do that one. We might actually do one that I've seen that my mom hasn't and do Love in a 45.
That'd be great.
I think that would be really fun.
Yeah, I would love to do that.
I think that was just a really fun movie. And Jeffrey, if you're listening, I would love like a shout out. just let me know that you're there. It would just make me so happy. Shout out to Chuck for doing our disclaimer and Marshall for doing our music. Both of you are amazing and rock. Thank you both very, very much. Shout out to Billy for doing our new logo.
Our sweet new logo. I like it a lot. And it's like one thing, we're going to have some stickers.
It's very clean.
Yeah, we like it.
Yeah, we love it. Any other shout outs?
Nope.
Time for our trip down to Sochmeads.
Sochmeads.
You can find us on Instagram at...
@don't_look_podcast.
Yep.
And I am also at catsmom75.
Yep.
Where you can see that sweet picture of Cat as the reanimated head.
You can. You can find us on Facebook.
At the Don't Look Podcast.
Yep. It's like a Facebook page.
Yeah.
The photo is also posted there, and that's where we're going to be posting a lot of our Blobfest stuff as well on our Instagram and Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to get in contact with us, our email is
don'tlookpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah. Yes. Do you want to change?
I'm doing so well.
There's no apostrophe in the don't on our email because it's not like a valid character.
I'm doing so well.
Yep, you are. And I think that's everything.
I think that is everything. So I guess the only thing that is left to do is just let you know that... Oh, gosh. no, I don't really want to say that. Okay. So I guess if you're just in Da Nang... Vietnam, and anybody comes up to you and asks if you got a quick $5, it's best if you don't look.
Listen. Thank you. And they're chanting, "This is my rifle. This is my gun. This is for pleasure. This is for fun. Or this is for fighting."
Damn it!
Can we take that again?
Yeah. Freudian slip.